And then we'll get started. I'll explain it as we go. Father, we do ask that you'd help us as we study. Lord, I believe your truth is evident in your word. It's not hard to even see. I believe that a lot of people have either abandoned the truth because they haven't been in the word, or they don't want to know the truth. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to use your word to be the one truth that we build all of our thinking on, not the world's philosophy or the way men, even in Christian circles, have twisted the truth. We pray that you just help us in this. And Lord, help us to grasp a better understanding of even of the authority structure in the home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We're still in the third discipline, the discipline of yielding to those that God has placed over us, authority. Let me just, there's a little bit, it's not really review, but there's five Greek words because they're related. Like one is a noun form, three is a verb form, four is the noun form for the same word. So there's actually kind of three words to the word. Listed six passages here that have to do with husbands. Okay. And we hear it a lot from the New Testament. Real quick. 5, 21, and 22. Numbers after them. Most of them are hupotasso, to self under. Okay. Once the number 3 is used. Takuo, Susanna. With the Greek alphabet. Letters. What's a kuo? You don't remember? And then it goes, submit is supplied. Previous. Wives to your own. For just as the church is subject other times, as the church is Colossians, your own husband, Lord, 2:5 to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient here. Husbands, that the word of God, 1 Peter 3:1, why? Same word as Titus 2:5. Submissive to your own husbands, that even if some day without a word may be the conduct of their wives. And then 1:5 and 6, for in this manner, inform women who trusted in being submitted. There's the other word, and by the way, was I here, right? And hupakuo, under, to, is probably a way to Lord, who's done good and are not afraid of terror in more detail. However, above and below it, I believe that we miss out on a lot of God's truth because people teach the New Testament verses and ignore the Old Testament foundation on which these verses are built. Let me read my little paragraph here. And their conduct regarding Jesus, we must first understand in design and creation. You cannot separate one. It doesn't make sense. It sounds unfair, whatever the case might be. Relate directly to and stem from the design of man and marriage. stem from God's purposeful design of man in marriage to out the foundational concepts necessary to make God's plan work. These commands involve God's plan, purpose, and position for you have to get that before the New Testament makes sense in its fullest sense. Now, what I want to do is I want to cover segments of four chapters in Genesis. So we're moving quite quickly. If I turned it into a discussion, this would be a four-week lesson. Okay, so that's why we're going in a one-week more. Otherwise, I'm going to... Genesis 1, okay, and I've left some space in the right side. Notes here. But it's related to authority in the whole... Now, I don't shield over it much. Some reaction to, because people misunderstand what I'm saying. So I'm giving you that up front, and I've had a lot about this over the years, because people misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm studying it out, but. What I am not saying is that women are of any less value than men. Okay? So hang with me here. All right? But I perfectly correct and therefore sacrifice the truth in doing so. And it has changed the very infrastructure of our entire society because it's owner. That's part of that. Men only. Is there? Were they just ignorant in those days? There was a reason for that. Women's suffrage, I believe, was a term in the Word of God. Now, women don't have the right to have their views and all of that. It has absolutely to do with the woman's intelligence. It has everything to do with structure or design. How many kings put in the Old Testament were men? That's one of them. Why? Because God placed men to be in charge. Arrogant. But that he put weight of responsibility on them. Is that responsibility? Talk section here, not the rest of it probably. Image of God. Three verses. Preach a whole sermon on it next week. I'm still chewing. I have ears. I would be remiss to say anything less. But it says here, then man it's now Adam, and this can be understood in three ways. I'm going to erase this in a little bit. So, number one, man as in humans, which would mean men and women. Mankind. In fact, we'll see that here. It's used in man. Man as in male. Okay? And it can be used as Adam, as in a guy's name, the first man. Okay, it's used all three ways in Genesis. And I'll The question is, which one back in Genesis 1 again? Is humans, man, males, or man, Adam? Hard to say in this one here. It says, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps. So God created man in his own image. Is that which three is here? We don't know. But read the next phrase. In the image of God, he created him. Him is male. Him is singular. Which one? It appears that it's singular and it's the man. Him. Okay? In the image of God, he created him. And then it says male and female. Here. This is hard. I was going to write hard and difficult by Genesis. God bless them. Now, my and again, I'll bring this out more next week in the sermon, so I'm going to be in more detail, is the image of God for the male or the man and humans. If all you had was Genesis 1, it would be indeterminate. You wouldn't know for sure. But Genesis 1:26 seems just the male is in the image of God. Now again, okay? And I'll explain it more next week. So Genesis 1, in the image of God, he created him. All right? Hang with me. Jump over to Genesis 5, which is on the back side of your sheet if you want to quit. Genesis, this is the book of the Genesis. Now, which one would that be? This is the same word for number three, right? Because the person that goes by the name of man. Okay? So, the man, the first man, in the day that God created man, he made him. He did. What was he talking about? God. Now again, bad names. You diminish the value of a woman and all that. I don't believe in any way this does. It acknowledges what the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, what if if this is all we had, it would still be hard to know for sure. The word is used interchangeably. Let's keep going here. He made him in the likeness of God. It seems like it's the male singular that was made in the likeness of God. He created them a female. And blessed them and called them, here's the one again. He called them Adam. And the New King James translates it how? Mankind. So remember I said all three of these seem to be used here. All right? In the day that they were created. So Adam here is... they are Adam. Okay? Just like mankind, the race, man. Okay? Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years. Which one of these is that one now? Number 3, right? Adam. So you can see why there's some confusion here. He lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image. We'll talk about more of that next week in the sermon. And named him Seth. Okay, I'm going to stop there. One other passage. You'll have to turn your... And I don't know how else to understand this, but this seems to put the clincher on this. 1 Corinthians 11. And again, we'll be in all three of these passages next week, and I hope everything is clear, and it might still not nail it completely down for you next week. But verse 7 here, notice this. It's talking about a head covering. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. Is this talking, which one of these, not the word Adam because it's the New Testament. Which one of these? Or mankind in general. It's talking very specifically, very clearly about the male, not mankind in general. Okay? Now, a lot of commentators, and I'm reading literally over 100 pages of stuff I've gathered, bend over backwards to try and, you know, and it's hard. We live in a volatile day when people don't want to even consider the truth. They want to react to what they hear, and that is all. But it seems like, and you'll have to come next week to the sermon to hear the full presentation, summary, and all that, but it seems like the male is created in the image of God directly. And the female, the woman, is a subset of that image of God, because where did the woman come from? The man. So we're not saying there's less value, but there's something that seems to be connected to the image of God directly that is intrinsically male, not female, and it has nothing to do with your value. It has to do with your responsibility and function. Hopefully, pray for me, next week I'll be able to explain that a little more, but I think it has to do with rulership and dominion. I'll probably get into a little bit of more today even. But it has to do with being in charge. Which, biblically speaking, you don't see God placing the kingdom under a woman. Who does he choose for apostles for the foundation of the church? Men. Okay? And again, it has nothing to do with value. It has to do with God's assigned function for men. And people like, oh no, you're saying women are stupid. In my family, I'm thinking my wife has the edge on that. Smartness. Okay? It's not intelligence. It's how God designed a man to function and how God designed a woman to function. And I believe we've abandoned that in our day. I believe we've abandoned it in the workforce. I believe we've abandoned it in politics. I believe we've abandoned it by and large in the church, let alone the home. Okay? And you can't get... That's why churches are so confused about the roles of men and women today, because they're trying to look at the command without the underlying foundational truths of it. Okay? But image of God seems to be him. And when I say that, that lays the foundation for the rest of it here. Now let's go to chapter 2 of Genesis on your sheet here. And again, if this sounds foreign, I understand that. Most people have never even heard this. But people avoid this like plague because they're trying to be politically correct. In the same way that theologians have been backed down from literal creation to fit in the culture of evolution, they've backed down from biblical design of manhood and womanhood to fit into the political correct realm of today. Okay? And it has permeated Christianity. Maybe I'll get into it some yet more today, but even examples that are perpetuated even by our form of education. What does a Bible college have to do with undermining biblical roles in the family? Is that possible that that could be the case? I believe most adamantly it is. I'll get into that maybe in a little bit. If I don't, you ask me, okay? Because I think it's very evident when you step back. Genesis 2 now. The Lord God formed man. Who's this talking about here? From the dust of the ground, right? It has to be the male. You know, at this point, woman wasn't created from dust, was she? So this is the man, male. Lord God formed man of his nostrils, talking about one person, one male person, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So who is it talking about here? The male created. Okay, and I'm using male specifically because that's the context in which it demands. The context clearly teaches that this is Adam alone, not Adam and Eve at this point. Okay, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Man created. And I want to add one more word here. First. Okay? And you say, fat deal. And I would, by and large, I would say big fat deal too. Except the Bible uses that. God did what he did in creation very purposefully. And Paul refers to being before Eve as a he applies to the church in 1 Timothy. We'll see that here briefly in a moment. Notice here, then he placed him in the garden. He planted a garden, and he put man there. Who's alive at this point? Okay. And I'm just going to use the male, because he hasn't even given a name yet, right? The male put in garden. What if we want to use that in one word, what would we say? Okay. It hasn't really assigned a job yet, though. At this point. It doesn't. He's in the garden. God. He finds man a place. This is huge too, folks, and this has been ignored, and I don't say that in arrogance. Everyone would read the Word of God and study the Word of God and take what it says rather than reading into the text. This is not, there's nothing secret that I'm telling you here. You can read it for yourself. And by the way, we're going to get into, we'll be in Genesis 2 probably about August. Okay, maybe late July. And we're going to go into this in more detail. So we'll be back to this too in the morning service. But he put him in the garden. So this is verses 7 and 8. Now notice another segment here. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep. Now, Lynn, what is this? It's his job. Or you might say, I'll put it purpose. But he gave him a place and he gave him a purpose. And what was the assignment to Adam? What? To tend and keep the garden. God gave Adam a place and he gave him a job. That's not hard, right? This isn't deep yet, right? So far, so good. You with me? This isn't the hard part. But understand, and I'm going to steal some of my thunder, Adam, God did not do this for the woman. He neither gave her a place, nor he didn't give her own garden to keep, in a nutshell. That is huge. And what's the implication of that? She's got a different job. He didn't give her a garden to keep. He gave her a husband to help. Totally different focus, but we have lost that today in our churches. People have changed roles so that now women have their own gardens, so to speak, and their own jobs. We mentioned several weeks ago now, we preached on it a bit, and this isn't my idea, but I've heard it several times from different preachers, but we've had same-sex marriage for a long time because people, women, have been functioning as men. And it's huge. The same-sex marriage is only one step in a long process that we've been on for a long time. Okay? All right. God put the man, and it's still talking about the man Adam, all the through here, okay? It's not has anything to do with it yet. Notice here, the Lord God commanded. Who was commanded? The man, the male, okay? He's commanded. Who wasn't commanded? Yeah, the woman wasn't there yet. Why would God command Adam before Eve was created? Why not create her and command them together? Huge. Help me out. Well, God was establishing Adam as the spiritual leader. He was placing the responsibility squarely on Adam. Eve couldn't even have accidentally misunderstood that it was her job. She wasn't even there. So, command. Principle. It's more than a principle, though, because it's command. But the man was commanded. He was given that responsibility. In fact, when was Eve commanded about the garden? Or the fruit? Trick question. Based upon the Word of God, she was never told by God about the fruit. Who would she have been told by then? Adam. We'll get there. This is Genesis 2, right? We're coming a little farther down here. I don't know if you can even see this. I'm writing low, so I'm... Okay. Right and lower here. I know Ted was amazed by that. We'll do that again for you after class, Ted. In fact, we'll put it back up for you. Are you following me so far? Who's here? The man, the male, not the woman. God does what he does on purpose, for reasons. Okay? Keep coming with me here. Genesis 2, 18 to 25, the one on the first side of it. And the Lord God, the man... Whoops, I'm sorry. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Who's he talking about here? Which one of these? Number two still, right? It's still the man, any man. You know, it's specifically only one man here. But it's not using Adam as a title. It's using it as the male. It's not good for the male to be alone. You know, anyone that reads up to this verse, if they haven't got it before, this should just crush any man's arrogant attitude, you know, as far as concerned and all that. It's like, I'm a loser without you, sweetheart, according to the Word of God. And that's when there wasn't any sin involved, you know. So, anyway, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Okay? Helper comparable. So, let's keep going, because all this together. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So now it uses the term Adam as a name. See what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. What is Adam doing? Huh? And if you're naming somebody, what is that? So what? Big deal. There's an ownership or authority over that you name, okay? So I call this rule, you can call it whatever, but ruling, he's exercising dominion over creation. Isn't that what God said in Genesis 1 even? Okay? So Adam gave names, blah, 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 but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable for him. Okay? A dog is not man's best friend. Okay? Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Must have been Sunday afternoon. Actually, it wasn't. And he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Adam was less of a man because of it. That's supposed to be a joke, but that's right. No one even got that, Anthony. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They're both naked. Man and his wife were not ashamed. I'm going to put dominion here, or rule. Now, here's... the woman created what purpose, what role? Helper to whom? The man. Helper to the man. Again, and it's interesting, God brought the woman directly to the man. He didn't put her in a garden, him in a garden, and say, date, and if you like each other, get married. It's even interesting, but God arranged a marriage. It's very different than what we would think today. And they go, oh, that's unfair. You know, I probably lean more toward arranged marriages. I've never demanded that of my kids. But it's like I think there's a structure there all throughout Scripture that you kind of see there. At least an authority of kids marry. And that's a biblical authority, not a wrong authority. You know, they have the final say, the parents have the say kind of thing. The Bible doesn't really give all the details of how to go about, you know, if you need to trade three camels for a... No, never mind. Okay, a helper to the man. So she's assigned, if you will, to help. She's not given her garden or her own tasks in the garden. What is her garden, in a sense? It's the man. Purpose and fulfillment, not in the garden. Fair? By design. Again, most even in Baptist circles would probably be shooting at me by now because they don't want to hear this. It's not unobvious. They're like, blah, 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 because it goes against what they want to believe or practice. Design. The man is set up not because he's better, but because that's the way God designed the man to do what he is supposed to do. And the woman is designed to help. Genesis 3. Put your page over here. Let's go. I did... Let's go to 1 Timothy 2 real quick, because Paul does refer to this. 1 Timothy 2. And we'll get into this more as we go into the church, the realm of the church and authority. But chapter 2, starting with verse 8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. I just want you to know that the word men is specifically male adults in verse 8. It's not men generic. It's not, you don't choose here. It's the word aner, which is only used of male adults, not even young boys. Okay? So men pray, and that's why we've tried to make an emphasis of men. Why? Because they're supposed to be the what? The spiritual leaders. In the church, not just in the home. Okay? Now go on. Keep going here. And by the way, I didn't write this. I'm only reading it. Okay, so don't throw anything at me as I get down here a little ways, all right? I didn't make this up. I wouldn't even have thought of this. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. So there's a certain way women are to dress because they are women. That is, doesn't relate to men, okay? Notice, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So there's a very specific way for women to dress, both in modesty and in moderation, both. And then verse 11 now, notice this. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Now, who wrote that? None of the women are speaking up now. Huh? Yeah, Paul wrote it under the inspiration of God. Now, either you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible at this point, or you say, oh, that was a culture. How many have heard that before? This is a culture verse. You know, it's Ephesus, and by the way, Paul hated women. That's the modern view of that. Of course, they discard the Word of God. The Bible's not inspired, you know. But let's go on. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Again, I didn't make this up. I didn't write it. In fact, I discovered it as I read the Bible. I don't know that I ever heard a message on it growing up even. Now, tell me what reasons Paul gives. He actually pulls not from culture here. For this, he looks all the way back to creation. He doesn't say because, you know, women are rowdy today and they need to be limited. That would be culture. Culture is specific people at a specific time, specific place. That's what culture means. Our culture here today would be specific people, specific time, specific place. Paul does not in any way refer to culture. He refers to creation. And notice here what he says. For Adam, what? Was formed first, then Eve. Remember I said that? God did something on purpose. He didn't say like, okay, let the earth bring forth mankind. I believe he took Eve from Adam to make a statement. They're that intimate. They're that one. Okay, rather than, he didn't form Eve out of dirt. He formed her out of Adam on purpose for a reason, but also after he formed Adam. Adam was first formed, then Eve. What is that saying? That God created Adam first on purpose to be the leader. To have the woman to take authority, which is exercising authority over a man, is to be reversing roles and going against the design that God originally created. Okay? It goes all the way back to creation. And by the way, this would apply in every realm of society, not just the church. Why? Because creation is true anywhere. A lot of people like to apply this just to the church. And no, he's applying creation to the church setting it doesn't just apply to the church setting. This is, he's applying something that has to do with the home to the church. You hearing me? There was no church in the Garden of Eden. Well, first church of the Garden of Eden, maybe. I don't know. There was no church. He's applying creation design to the church. It needs to be applied to the workplace. It needs to be applied to politics. Okay? Because it has to do with God's design. Okay, what's the next one? The next reason he says that a woman has to keep that teacher have authority over men. Is it cultural? Verse 14. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. What's that got to do with anything? I mean, I'm not Eve, right, ladies? I'm not Eve. I'm smarter than Eve. I wouldn't have been deceived if I was Eve.
No, he made a choice.
No, I mean, that could be our argument. What's Eve got to do with me? Or you as a woman? I believe it has everything to do with how a woman is designed. And her function and role. It has nothing to do with her inferiority or not. She's not made to lead. She's made to what?
Help.
Why do you think the devil went to Eve? He didn't go to the person in charge that God had placed in charge. He went to the person that was designed to help. Did it work for him? Yeah, how did he do it? He tricked her. Now, again, listen to me, ladies. You are not stupid in any way, shape, or form. I'm not saying that, but you're designed to mold to a man. In fact, I think you're superior because of that, because the way God designed you is to be flexible, to fit, to be able to help. Was it? I remember Pastor Randy, you know, the men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti or something. That's not a biblical quote. But, you know, women are designed to think differently than men. That doesn't make them inferior. It makes them special for what they're meant to do. Pastor Sean kind of intimated that men have problems in some areas at times. So we've read somewhere. And women have a tendency to be different by God's creative design. Which one's better? Which one's smarter? Wrong question. It has nothing to do with intelligence. God created a woman to follow and help, and therefore, even if even with no sin, is to if she starts with the wrong thing, she molds and helps the wrong one, which happened to be the devil at that point. Okay? Genesis 3. Eve, by the way, it's the woman. She's not named till the end of chapter 3. Eve tempted, and listen closely here. Genesis 3 says this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, listen closely. Who did God command that to? Yeah, the man, Adam, the male. Eve wasn't even around. What should she have done? Sorry, you'll have to talk with the guy that God commanded in that realm. That would be him over there. The only other person in the entire garden. Right? That's not her. What's her job? To help him. What is the devil trying to get her to do? To do Adam's job. To become the spiritual leader. Which she did. She made an independent choice. She was deceived. Why? It wasn't bad. She was just functioning in a realm that... And by the way, Adam totally blew it. Because the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing and still did it. So if you you don't blame the woman, you blame the man, because he knew what was going on. When he chose and knew what he was doing. The woman did not. She was deceived, thinking, oh, this is a good decision. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay? Notice. I think that's all I'm going to say. Oh, the verse 6 now of the Genesis 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, it made sense to her. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Eve decided in Adam's realm. She assumed Adam's realm outside of God's design for her. Notice this. What happened when she ate? Nothing happened to her or him. You listening to me? This is big too. So then she says, Adam, this is good. Honey, you should try this. Now, I'm filling in some lines, but I think I have some biblical authority that I'll show you in a sec. And he would be like, what did you do? God told us not to do that. By the way, neither shall you touch it. Remember that? Eve said that? God didn't say that, right? People say, oh, Eve added to the Bible. The Bible doesn't indicate that at all. That very likely could have been Adam's extra rules, like house rules. You know, if we're not supposed to eat it, let's not even touch it. That's what it kind of sounds like to me, that Adam said, okay, Eve, we're not supposed to eat of this fruit. Let's not even touch it. Okay? That's what it sounds like to me. She's never condemned for adding to the Bible. All right? But notice here then, Adam, here's the scenario. He goes, what did you do? We're not supposed to do that. God said, no, we're going to die if we eat that. Oh, you know, it's like, you got to eat it. Okay, now she's starting to talk to him. You have to eat it. What will happen to me or whatever? Okay? It might even be that she cried a little bit or hollered or bantered, is that the word? Battered him with her words. You think I'm making that up? So the Bible doesn't say. Look at Genesis 3. What is the first thing God said in verse 17? Then to Adam he said, because what? The first thing he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife. What voice? Apparently they talked. Apparently there was some interaction to the point where he finally said, okay, I'll do it. Woman over man can be huge in a wrong way if you're not careful. Ladies, Eve not only chose outside of her realm to follow something. She was deceived. She shouldn't even have been paying attention. I'm sorry, that's the husband's realm. You'll have to talk to him. Not only did she do that, but she also ended up reversing the role over Adam. So he did what she said rather than the other way around. So then Adam listened to Eve rather than to God. That's what God says in verse 17. So then she became his God in a sense. She became influence greater than God in Adam's life. And there's a big danger of that, of pushing your husband when you shouldn't. Because why? The realm is his. The responsibility is his. And guess what? Let's keep going and here. Eve decided to answer. Verse 8, is it? Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open. When Adam ate, this is huge, Adam ate, both eyes opened. Does that make sense? It wasn't until Adam ate that Eve's eyes were opened either. And that brings back to here, the command seems to be to Adam directly, Eve indirectly. Okay? Because nothing happened when Eve ate. It wasn't the deciding factor. It was Adam's choice to make, and Adam chose wrongly. And that's when death passed upon all men. Look in Romans 5, if you want, verse 12. Death did not come by Eve. Death came by Adam. Sin did not come by Eve. Sin came by Adam. You inherit your sin nature from Adam. Okay? It wasn't until Adam ate that their eyes were both open. He was the spiritual authority. He made the spiritual decision, and he suffered the spiritual consequences. One more thing here. No. Right. That's when their shame, that's when their, I believe, the relationship with God broke. They became spiritually separated from God at that point. That's what we're talking about here. Their sinful consciousness. Yeah. No, it wasn't their eyes. You know, physical eyes. Good question. And just one other thing. We're not going to finish. Maybe it was foolish to even try. God comes walking. Oh, they go from God. And guess what? God comes in, walking the cool day, and guess what he does? He asks for who? Adam. And they say, well, is that this? Adam, this. And it seems to be this because this answers. Adam, where are you? And those are singular. Not humankind, where are you all? Adam, where are you? And it's interesting, but he says this. I hid because I was naked. Well, who told you you were naked? And God, it's interesting. Have you eaten from the fruit that I commanded you not to eat? She did it. And by the way, God didn't seem to buy that. In fact, he didn't. Eve says she was deceived. And by the way, she was telling the truth. The serpent deceived me and I ate. She was telling the truth at that point. Adam said, hey, God, she, the one you gave me, you gave me her. She gave it to me and I ate. Oh, it's God's fault. Anyway, there's so much in here. More in chapter 3. Let's just pick up. If you have questions, let's grab them next week. We'll have the sermon, so we'll have some foundation to go through. But there's more in chapter 3, and there's reinforcement in chapter 5. Okay? Chapter 4 is Cain and Abel. So it kind of jumps into that a little bit and then jumps more into that. So it doesn't, there's truth in chapter 4, but not relating to this. We're even not covering all of chapter 2, for instance, because it talks about the four rivers and there's much gold in here and some with marriage. So, all right, lots here, and I tell you what, it's impacted the way I see things, and it's not the way I was born or the way I was taught, and I'm not trying to believe something different. I'm just trying to believe what the Word of God teaches. But it's the foundation of the entire structure of our entire world as God intended it to be. And it's way different than what our culture and our churches and all of that do it now. And it's impacted us in a bad way, very bad way. Marriages and everything. So. We'll be into these more in standalone sermons too, as probably in August for this. So. So, and again, if you don't get this, the rest of the Bible will, you'll miss what. It's kind of like you have to learn your ABCs before your sentences make sense, or math. You have to learn addition and subtraction before you can do algebra or whatever. This is the addition and subtraction. And if you try and do the other stuff and ignore this, you'll interpret the New Testament wrong, because this is the design that you constantly refer back to. Whether it's divorce and remarriage, in the beginning it wasn't so, you know, kind of idea. Jesus refers back to creation, culture. So, all right, if you got questions, you can grab me afterwards, or we'll pick up from here next week. So, all right. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Help us to desire your truth, to believe your truth, to embrace your truth, to behave your truth, Lord. And Lord, in this case, this stuff is so rejected by the world now that it, and the church, that we have lost our way and ignored your word. And I pray that you would help us here to gently encourage other people to look back into the Word and see what is there, rather than putting what they want into the Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.